I'll call upon our duty elder once again to come and read the scripture for us. First of all, from the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 14, and then we'll turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 3.
So first of all, Numbers 14, you'll find that on page 122, if you've picked up a Bible at the door. Reading verses 1 to 35. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, 'It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness.' And now please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, 'The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word, but truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he is a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea.' And the Lord spoke to Moses and said to Aaron, saying, 'How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, "As I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and of all your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall become shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and you shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day. And you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this will I do to all this wicked congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall come to a full end, and there they shall die. And our second reading this morning, following on from that, is Hebrews 3. And again, if you have a church Bible, that's on page 1002. Hebrews 3, the whole chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are as his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For those who heard and yet rebelled, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So far, our reading.
It is a sad story that we have heard, a story of unbelief and disobedience. It is a glorious story that we have heard, a story of God's grace and mercy. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, some of us in this congregation have grown up from infancy under the instruction of God's word in homes where the Bible was read regularly. You've heard these stories, the story we just read and many others, many times. You were taught in your home to love the Lord and to serve Him with all your heart. Others of us here this morning were drawn to the Lord as adults. And so there are many things that you are still learning. And yet all of us together came to the point where we publicly professed our faith in the Lord Jesus and committed ourselves to love and serve the living God with our whole heart and mind and strength. We made those promises when we became communicant members of the congregation. And for a while, everything seemed to go well. But we learned in a few weeks or months that the life of the believer who is committed to serving God is not always smooth sailing. The devil seeks to undermine our faith in all kinds of ways. The unbelieving world around us seeks to turn us away and seduce us with many temptations. And our own hearts, because of the remaining sin in our own hearts are still inclined to all kinds of evil. And as a result, we fall over and again. And sometimes we fall not only into actions of sin, but sometimes we fall into unbelief. None of us, you see, is beyond the possibility of falling into unbelief. And through unbelief, if continued in, we may fall away from the living God, just like God's people did so many times in the Old Testament. And that's why our text is so very important for us. The text for this sermon is from Hebrews 3 that we just read, and the verses 12 to 14. Let me read those verses again. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. The first thing that we notice in verse 12 is that call to us, take care. Or I would rather translate that as watch out. Watch out. I believe take care is too small, too soft. It doesn't necessarily imply danger. You know, it's what you say to someone who's going on a trip, and as they're leaving, you say, take care. And you're not necessarily thinking that they're in grave danger at the time. But this word is a stronger word, and that's why I think it's better to translate it as watch out. There is danger here, present. We are not merely to ensure that we don't develop an unbelieving heart, that it's something far in the future and not really a present danger. That's not the idea. We are to watch out because there is a real danger right now that we may develop an unbelieving heart. It's the kind of strong warning that you would give to someone who is going through the forest and didn't realize that just a few meters ahead was a 100-meter cliff. And you would scream to them, "Watch out!" Because there's danger just ahead. And it says, "Watch out, lest there be in any of you." And that's for us. Watch out, lest there be in any of you an unbelieving heart. It doesn't refer to a person who's never believed and never known the gospel, who has no acquaintance with the truth. It's referring to one who has believed and who has followed God, but is now in real danger, the danger of turning away from the living God. It's the kind of heart that was referred to in Psalm 95 that we sang a few minutes ago. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, though they had seen my work." He's speaking to us here today who have seen the works of God, who have known the grace of God. The people of Israel had come out of Egypt under Moses' leadership. They had trusted Moses as God's servant, and he was a faithful servant, as we read in Hebrews 3. They had seen God's powerful works in defeating Pharaoh. They had been led to Mount Sinai, and they had met with God, and they saw his majesty as it was revealed in the earthquake and the fire and the smoke on that mountain. And they heard his awesome voice as he spoke the Ten Commandments. They knew the works of God firsthand. And yet, within a short time, they turned away. They had an evil, unbelieving heart, we're told. They disobeyed their God. They turned away from the living God. And when we read about the living God, we're reminded that the true God is living in the sense that he is not like the other gods. They're all dead. They don't exist. He is the God who does wonders. He is the God who has power and majesty. He is the God who calls us to follow him, and he gives us life. And they turned away from him. They had been eating the food that he gave them every day. They had been drinking the water that he caused to come out of the rock. And yet they turned away from him. And that's why we are warned. Watch out, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Brothers and sisters, none of us is exempt from this danger. And if you think you are, watch out, because before pride, or after pride, comes a great fall. Don't begin to think, "Well, after all, it's just a little sin. It's just a little piece of my life that I want to keep for myself." And if you understood what those people have done to me, you would realize why I'm angry. And anyway, Mom's too strict. She just gives me all these rules. I want a little freedom. You ever thought that way? The word comes to us who have thought that way. Watch out, lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart. Because, you see, there really is no little sin. Every sin is disobedience to the living God. Every sin is disrespect for him who called us and gave his very life for us. It's dishonoring to God. Watch out. Then we read on further. Verse 13. But exhort one another, or we could read, encourage one another, every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We see here in verse 13 that in this danger position that we are all in, dangerous position that we're all in, we're not left alone. We have the presence and the encouragement of one another in Christ. We're not left alone. And that's very important because sin is deceitful. We often don't recognize it in ourselves. We often don't see our own sin. We're blind to it. And that's why it's important that we realize that we're not alone. We have one another. And we're called here to exhort, to encourage one another. You know, sin is deceitful in the sense that it never comes to you with a label on it. Watch out, this product is dangerous to your spiritual health. It never comes that way. It always comes dressed in wonderful clothes. It always comes as pleasant and fun. It's deceitful. But underneath lies corruption and finally death. Now, brothers and sisters, you're well aware that this message about sin and its deceitfulness is not something that you will hear in the media. It's not something that you'll learn from television. The television presents sin as pleasant and fun. Doesn't present the consequences of sin very often. It doesn't teach us about the causes of sin. And so you must understand from the Word of God, from the preaching of that Word, the dangerous nature and the deceitful nature of sin. And we must therefore be diligent to encourage one another in this fight in which we are engaged. You see your brothers and sisters next to you, in front of you, and behind you here in the congregation. You're not alone. Recognize that each one of us may be deceived by sin and therefore be one anothering, if I can turn that into a verb. Watching out for and caring for, encouraging, exhorting one another. That's what we are asked to do here. That's why we are members of the congregation of the Lord Jesus. We are members of Christ himself. And as members, you see, we have responsibilities and benefits to offer to one another. When that doesn't happen, the battle becomes very difficult and may even be lost. You know, in any war, when the morale of the army is low and when the soldiers are not encouraging one another in the fight, the battle won't be won. And so it is spiritually. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not merely the job of the leaders in the church, the elders and the deacon and the pastor. Notice what it says, but exhort, encourage one another. And it's not just a job that you do once in a while. Every day, it says, encourage one another every day. And it's not a job that you do just for a short time. Maybe you're faithful for a little while, but then you leave off. No, as long as it is called today. Now, that phrase, as long as it is called today, refers to this day in which we live between when Jesus went to heaven and reigns and until he comes back again to take us into his eternal kingdom. That's the day we live in. And so it's as long as we are here alive in this age, we are to be encouraging one another every day. Hebrews talks about it a little later on in chapter 10, where we're told to stir up one another to love and good deeds, and not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. And brothers and sisters, it is not just the adults of the congregation to whom these words are addressed. You young people who are part of the congregation, you children who are part of the congregation, these words are for you. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Build up one another every day, as long as it is called today. So that none of you adults, none of you children, none of you youth will be turned aside by the deceitfulness of sin. But then, verse 14, we are called to hold firm to our first confidence. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. You see, we have become partakers of Christ. He is in us by his Spirit. He is in us corporately as the congregation of the Lord Jesus. We are members of his body. He is our head. You are not your own, says the Apostle Paul, but belong body and soul in life and in death, as we recite what the Apostle Paul has taught in our catechism. We belong to Jesus, our faithful Savior. We are in Christ. And as you read through the Apostle's letters, over and over and over, you will come across those two words, in Christ. And this means that our sins are forgiven. Our guilt is removed. We are servants of the King. He has done all this for us, and even more, he has joined us to himself in the most intimate way so that we are in him. And he's promised that he will be with us, that we will be in him forever. Nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's the original confidence you had when you made your profession of faith. And that's what we are urged to hold on to continue grasping with both hands. Hold firm that confidence because your salvation does not depend on you. It depends on him. And so you must hold to him and give up on yourself. When doubts arise in your mind, when unbelief arises when you begin to fall into repeated sins, go back and lay hold of Christ. Hold firm to that confidence that you had in Him in the beginning. Say to yourself, I am forgiven. Even though sin is deceitful and I have fallen, I am forgiven because of Christ. I am a child by grace of God. Jesus has paid for all my sins. He lives in me, and by His Spirit, He gives me confidence to continue trusting Him. Hold firm. You see, that's what Israel failed to do, to hold firm to that first confidence they had in the beginning when they had seen the power and the deliverance, the salvation of God. They had come to see firsthand that the gods, the false gods of Egypt, were no gods at all. God had destroyed one after the other in those 10 plagues. They had come to understand the power of God as He brought them through the desert and fed them and gave them drink and brought them to Himself. And they had committed themselves to serve Him. They had said, all that the Lord has called us to do, all that He has commanded us, we will do. That was their first confidence, you see. And now they were to be urged again and again and again by one another to hold firm to that first confidence. When they refused to believe that God would continue to care for him, for them, when they refused to believe that God would give them victory over their enemies as they went into the land He was promising to give them, and they were letting go of God and His grace, they were deserting that confidence they had in Him. They were deserting Him, their God. Now, brothers and sisters, this history that we have read of Israel and their defection from God is history. It's real history. And it happened many, many, many years ago, 3,500 years ago. But you see, it's written here for us. It's our history. Yes, we didn't experience firsthand in the flesh deliverance from Pharaoh and his army. But it's written for us, and it's our history, and we understand it. We enter into it, you see, and we recognize this is the way that God has delivered us from our slavery to sin. And it's written for us so that we may hold fast to our first confidence and that we may encourage one another in that, remembering that sin is deceitful. Brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage one another. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we confess that often we are blind to our own sin, to our own disobedience, and how much we need your grace and mercy for forgiveness day in and day out, and how much we need the encouragement and exhortations and at times even rebuke of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful, to stand strong in Christ, to reach out to our brothers and sisters and encourage one another as you have commanded, that the Church of Jesus Christ may remain steadfast and firm, bearing witness to your grace in this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.